AKA 2, PTE. Calling KA 2, PTE. Calling KA 2, PTE. Here is WB4AIO in Western Pennsylvania calling your station and standing by for the LibertyNet review.
All right, WB4AIO from KA2PTE over in Bennington, VerYork, a new experimental state that combines New York and Vermont and hopes for the best. You're sounding good here, Kevin, this morning. Looks like a pretty decent day over here in VerYork. The sun is out, and tell you can just feel the energy level completely different on these kind of days where the sun is out and there's not much cloud covering the sky for a change, with all this very doomy and gloomy weather that's been around here for the last several months. It's pretty refreshing, so I hope it lasts. So I did get my coffee, and I'm on my last Pop-Tart, which means I'll have to go see if I can get some more Pop-Tart supply later from the local stores. So, things are looking pretty good here this morning, and it looks like the LibertyNet last night had some troubles. I was not really copying too many stations other than Larry for a little while. I tried to get in there, but I guess nobody was hearing me checking in. So I listened with the SDRs online for a little while, but even with that, it seemed pretty scratchy. And I think I tuned into your 3950 feed, which was probably better. I was picking up a lot of stations there better than I was with the SDRs, but it just felt like one of those nights where it was going to be a crapshoot, and I hung in there for as long as I could, and something told me to switch to 160, so I went there, and boy, the 160 band was really open last night. There was a lot of contesters, so I went and I answered some contesters' calls and got the old 5x9 signal report, good luck on the contest dialogue going there for a while, and I thought I heard Greg K1YW, so I went to 1988, and sure enough, threw my call out there, and Greg responded, so he and I caught up on a lot of things and had some good conversation about my Thunderbolt Linear project and the antenna situation and making sure things don't arc over and testing the Thunderbolt to make sure everything is operating properly. So that was a good long QSO last night. So made the best of it, even though the LibertyNet seemed to be kind of minimized. But it looks like there was a recording made, and I guess you probably have a recording of your own made. So we'll see if you can supply any interesting material to kick off the LibertyNet review here this morning, and I guess what I'll do is I'll officially signal its start by broadcasting our logo on the CQ100 QSO TV, so I'll transmit that out. Okay, transmission complete on the QSO TV system, so pretty much anyone else that's excuse me, listening out there can jump in at any time in between transmissions and get in on the queue. So this is pretty much a LibertyNet review. It's a review of a current events discussion that we have on amateur radio on 3995 KC every Saturday and Wednesday night, as per the information in the image that I transmitted on the TV system. So sort of what we do here is try to get some clips played, and then we have some commentary and feedback that we supply on certain things, and we usually start about 10:30, and we try to get last about as long as maybe 1 o'clock, depending on how long we can keep it going. So right now it's myself and WB4AIO over in Pennsylvania, so with that, I'll switch it over to him, but we'll leave a little pause in between in case anybody else wants to check in and join in the queue. So WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, I left a long pause there to see if there were any other check-ins here on the CQ100 virtual ionosphere. When I make these recordings, I've been putting up the recordings of our LibertyNet reviews. I take out those pauses, or at least I make them much shorter, just for the benefit of the listener who's listening to the recording. Doesn't need to hear protracted pauses while we listen for other signals. KA2PTE and the LibertyNet review. Here's WB4AIO. Steve, your voice sounds perfect. I assume you are well, and that is good. Perhaps you have defeated this illness forever. I hope so. Hope you're immune to it now, and it never comes back. It is bright and sunny here. Sky is a pure baby blue. Trees are still brown and gray, not a leaf on them. But the sun is beautiful, and a lot of the grass stays green here. It's kind of yellowish, but it's mostly green. And even in wintertime, when you have the bright sun shining on the green grass with a blue sky, it is pretty and inspiring. And my wife took a walk with me and our collie last weekend, and we saw some signs of spring. We actually saw a few little green plants pushing up through the soil. So there have been some moments of warmth. I don't know how they survived the freezing days in between, but there have been enough moments of warmth where there are a few signs of spring showing up. So that always makes you feel excited and full of energy. When I first woke up this morning, it was 22 degrees, and I had to go out to take our collie out. But it is now 39 degrees here in the mountains of western PA. And your signal, of course, on CQ100 is perfect. No problems with the sound or your interface with your microphone or anything. It's except for the 3.5-4 kilohertz audio bandwidth limitation, it sounds real good. I wish they'd doubled the bandwidth up to 8 kilohertz. There's cell phone audio is notoriously bad, but there are some models of phones that have what they call HD audio now, and they've reduced the compression artifacts, and they've widened the bandwidth for these HD audio phones. HD phones are now beyond 7 kilohertz of audio, and the compression algorithm is far fewer artifacts. So finally, they're giving us more bandwidth on some of the cell networks, and it sounds astoundingly better than the 3 kilohertz audio that we're used to hearing. And I think if CQ100 opened up their bandwidth, just doubled it, they don't seem to have a lot of traffic, so I imagine it wouldn't be too much of a load on their servers to just double it up to a sampling rate where you could get 8 kilohertz of audio. In other words, a 16 kilohertz sampling rate or higher. And we'd have a phenomenal audio here on CQ100 instead of just fair to good audio. And yes, I did listen to the net last night and recorded it. I did not transmit. I'm still having amplifier problems, and I'm not satisfied with my limitations, so I need to do some work on that. I'd really like to get hold of a cheap ALS 600 as a stopgap so I could continue to talk while I figure out a larger amplifier for the future. But just a little ALS 600 would satisfy me. If you hear of one going up for sale at a low price, let me know. I really would like to have one of those things. I think that's what KA8JOY is using. It's 600 watts maximum, probably just 500 watts clean power. And I always try to run my amps clean. But I think it would be enough as a stopgap measure until I can save up enough money for a amplifier like I used to have. Before it was stolen, it was actually stolen from me. I had an Alpha 77, and an Alpha 77 you can transmit all day long. They used to advertise those things with a photograph of the amplifier, and in the foreground was a CW key with a brick on it. And so you could just transmit at full power 24/7, and the app would just run, just like a broadcast transmitter, just like broadcast transmitters run 24/7. And no more of this overloading if you talk too long. I just can't stand that. And if I'd known that this EB-104 amplifier was going to have severe time restrictions on how long I could transmit, I wouldn't have bought it. I'm disappointed. Anyway, if you know of an ALS-600, which is an Ameritron amplifier, a relatively small one, I'd like to get one of those because it can be driven with a slight modification. It can be driven by my low-power Anon transceiver, and it would provide enough power where I could converse on the Liberty Net, whereas the 8 watts or so of clean power I can get out of the transceiver by itself just isn't really enough to have a conversation on highly competitive frequencies like 75 meters and 160 meters. And the net last night, the band was very long. It wasn't one of those nights where the close-in stations completely disappeared, but the close-in stations were very weak. I could understand what they were saying much of the time, and I think my recording that I made directly from my transceiver is better than any of the SDRs I sampled. I also listened to some SDRs just to see if they were getting better signals overall than my receiver. But I ended up sticking with my receiver for the official recording, which I have put up on the LibertyNet site on 3950.net. That's 3950.net. The SDRs I tried, and I probably tried half a dozen of them, sometimes I would get a somewhat better signal on one station, but then I would be worse on all the other stations. So eventually I went back to my recording. And you can hear the net control station. You can even hear the close-in stations like the Pennsylvania stations, but they're weak, but mostly understandable in my recordings. I had low noise. The line noise that sometimes plagues my location was absent, so I was pleased. And I did hear you guys switch to 160 meters, by the way, and have your technical discussion. I didn't hear all of it, but I heard part of it. Sounds like you were discussing the Thunderbolt. And I'm glad to see that Greg is helping you and not shunning you because you're talking to the bad person. So that made me happy. So I guess I can check in and he won't shun me either. So that also makes me happy. I hope that's true. I'd be happy to help you with the Thunderbolt in any way I can. I think that you should try to get it running. Just on 75 meters at first, before trying to modify it, I would get it functioning properly on the bands for which it's intended before trying to do any modifications. Although I guess, curiously, tell me if I'm wrong, but it appears that the Thunderbolt is so old that it doesn't have a proper relay system, because you sent that email to the list. It doesn't bypass itself when it's in the receive mode. And you have to somehow do that manually with relays. So good luck with that. It's a simple project, though. Just a double-pull, double-throw relay, or like you say, use your existing coax relay as a single-pull, double-throw, and then have a smaller relay for the input circuit. So another single-pull, double-throw, so you can bypass the amp when you're in the receive mode. I don't know what to say about your 40-ohm resistance of the grounded terminal. Maybe that relay contact is corroded and you need to clean it. Maybe the switch that turns on the relay, I think there's an internal switch in the FT-890. Maybe that got a bad contact and it's not pulling the relay down hard enough. And that is part of the problem. Maybe switching that switch back and forth a few times or cleaning it with contact cleaner would help. Or maybe somebody's modified it and put 40 ohms of resistance into that circuit. That seems unlikely, but I guess anything is possible. It's also possible that if it is a very mild form of oxidization, that if you just pass some current through that 40 ohms, that it will break through the oxidized material, and then the metal contacts will touch each other again, and it'll go close to 0 ohms. Good luck with that. Because the band was so long, the recording of last night's net, the last night's Liberty Net, is sort of weird in that the stations that had interesting things to say were kind of weak and noisy, and the stations that were strong didn't really say anything that really sparked my interest. I'm sure there was nothing wrong with their comments, but just didn't spark my interest for the review. So I think what I'm going to do is when I start playing the clips, I would like to play them from the midweek Liberty Net, which happened on Wednesday, because the propagation was much better and there were some really interesting topics brought up by Bill KO4FE that I'd like to remark on. So that's where I am with that. I have the clips ready to play, but I've already talked long enough for my first transmission. And by the way, I've never owned a Johnson Thunderbolt, but I did have a Johnson Valiant, so I know a little bit about the way the Johnson rigs are put together. The Johnson Valiant was my second amateur radio transmitter back in 1973. I got it. I think it was October of 1973. And I had that Johnson Valiant for many, many, many years, till I finally gave it to another ham in the year 2000, or 2000, as we probably should call it. But I had that Valiant for a long time and used it for a long time. And I've also worked with 4400s a lot. I had a military surplus T-368 transmitter that had a 4400 in the final. And I also put a couple of 4400s in the modulator in that transmitter. And then I've also been around broadcasting as a broadcast engineer, and there are a lot of 1 kilowatt or 500 watt AM broadcast transmitters that use 4400s, so pretty familiar with the tube. One thing that I don't know what kind of problem you were having with the 4400s, if any. I only heard part of your conversation last night. But one problem that they have is if they get old or they get used heavily, the solder joints in the pins can heat up. The pins that connect the tube to the socket, you know, the pins that stick out of the bottom of the tube, and also the contacts of the sockets can become deformed over the years. And sometimes those sockets, the receiving contacts in the sockets that receive the pins, can lose their springiness, and they don't make hard contact. And when they don't make hard contact, and if you don't press them back together and restore the hard contact, then that adds resistance to the circuit. And as you discussed with Greg, it's a very heavy current. It's like over seven amps per tube. And when that heats up, sometimes the solder in the pins can actually melt and need to be resoldered. And usually you can see that, though, if that has happened. There have been a couple of cases where you couldn't see it, though, where it's gotten, the solder has melted a little bit and it's kind of loose and not making good contact inside the pin, and you can't see it. But sometimes resoldering those things is necessary. I hope it's not necessary in your case, because it's kind of an iffy proposition. It's hard to get it right. And whenever that's happened, I've always just replaced the tube and tightened the contact so it doesn't happen again. I think I tried reflowing the solder once, and I had some success, but it was a lot of trouble to get it right. And then the tube was getting close to being soft anyway. It just wasn't worth the trouble. But good luck with that. Back over to you. I'll play the clips next time, and it'll be from the Midweek Liberty Net, if that's okay with you. KA2PTE in the Republic of Verjork. This is WB4AIO in the Great Forest of Western Pennsylvania, standing by on the Liberty Net Review.
All right, Kevin, very good. Solid copy. Good transmission there. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, very good info on the linear stuff and the tubes and the relay situation there. Greg did say he was going to send me another relay for free that he thought would probably work fine on the receive side of the Yaesu to the Thunderbolt. So I'll wait till I get that, and that'll probably be solving that part of the problem. But yeah, the 40 ohms could, yeah, it could be that switch on the front that it looks like that switch either enables the relay or the solid state sort of relay for the external jack. There's an external jack back there for designed for a Yaesu type linear to control the bands and stuff like that, which also has a TX ground, but it's only running through a small transistor, which is about 100 milliamps, maybe 150 milliamps tops. So I tend to want to use the relay, which would ground it ideally, and I think might supply close to an amp. So I'll have to, I guess, open that Yaesu up at some point and get into that and take the relay out, test it manually. I don't think the relay can be disassembled and the contacts cleaned. It looked like all of them in there were sort of a enclosed type, so I might have to try to order a new relay for that at some point. But the Yaesu is a good little radio so far. It's got a lot of features on it. I thought about picking up a Kenwood TS-520. I saw a really good deal on one of those, but it doesn't cover 160, I don't believe. It's got the 6146 tubes, hybrid configuration. Looks like a pretty good radio, but I sort of, I guess, am spoiled with the Yaesu for the time being. The 520 would be a real base station, as opposed to having the 12-volt supply on this Yaesu. But I guess for now, I've come this far with it. I'll stick it out a little further, and yeah, I'll keep an eye open. I thought I saw maybe a good deal on a Heathkit SB200. I don't remember how many watts that puts out as a linear, but I thought I saw one that might be a fixer-upper, and I might check into that a little further and see if that's a possibility, and if the guy's, because he'd be kind of far away, and I wouldn't be able to really drive. I'd have to probably, I guess, get it shipped if I was to be able to obtain it, but I'll keep my eyes out for you and let you know what goes on with that. Yeah, I also did a little bit of antenna footwork this morning. I don't know if I sent you a picture of an antenna that I acquired. It was basically, I thought it was a folded dipole. I think that's what it is. It's got this heavy duty legal limit balun on there. That's like a mil spec balun, and I've been told that the antenna works. So what I did this morning is I uncoiled it on the floor, and I figured I'd measure each side. And I measured one side, and I'm just going to assume the other side is probably about the same. But I get about 40 feet of the length on the one end. And it's got these resistors that sort of, basically, it's a dipole, but the ends of the wires are coming around, so they're bending them back at 40 feet intervals, and I guess it goes back another 40 feet back to the feed point, and it ties them together with, looks like, I don't know, 10 watt resistors or something like that. It ties each end back, and I think somebody said that's a folded dipole, but I'm checking into that further, and I made some more pictures, and I think I'll eventually post them into the LibertyNet resource and see if it looks familiar to anybody. They can confirm that. But if it's a folded dipole and it's 40 feet out and comes back another 40 feet, I'm guessing that means it's sort of an equivalent of 80 feet for each side. So it might be a it might be sort of an 80-meter type of dipole, or maybe, who knows, maybe it would work better than what I have on 160. So being it's 40 feet, it's a little easier to put that up. I think I can probably swing a 40-foot connection to a building or a tree or something to try that. I just have to get a launcher and put the feed point up somewhere, I guess. But that was at least a step in the right direction. I was curious about what the deal was with that with that antenna, so I came a little bit closer to figuring out. And the spacing with the wires looks like it's about 3.5 inches. So they got these like ladder line type spacers going out on the 40-foot length, and it's, you know, I guess it's folding back each end, and then they're using those spacers to keep the gap 3.5 inches from the main, I guess the main radial, I guess you'd call them. But that sounds fine with the Wednesday clips. Propagation was definitely better Wednesday night for the Liberty Net there. So if you want to play those, or combination of either of the two, or just, you know, whatever you feel you want to comment on, that'll be fine. No problem with that. So once again, anybody that's listening, you're free to jump in at any time and participate in the QSO. It's a discussion of the Liberty Net, which is a current events discussion on amateur radio, and it's been around since 1974. And every Wednesday and Saturday, there's a net on 3995 KC, which people check in and pretty much talk about different current events that's going on in the country and, I guess, in the world. A variety of different topics are out there, anywhere from politics, Second Amendment, constitutional rights. Free speech is a very important part of the Liberty Net, and we encourage that. And we also, I guess, have there's other topics like science and health that pop up from time to time. So just about anything is fair game. It's a open type of a net, I guess, even though it's sort of I guess it is a dedicated net. We do have a net controller that steps up each time and kicks the net off and takes check-ins, and we go down the list. But our Liberty Net review here is sort of a new concept. It's basically been myself and WB4AIO, Kevin over there in Pennsylvania. We've been experimenting here on Cormac for a few months, and we've sort of come up with this idea to just kind of be here and see what kind of audience we can attract, and further promote the Liberty Net in case anybody's interested in knowing more about it. We have a couple of web resources. 3950.net is a site Kevin maintains, and it's got a lot of recordings and history about the Liberty Net. And it also, I believe, broadcasts the Nets live via a live stream and has a chat room that you can go into and check out when the Nets are in taking place. And I run a email list and a sort of a web resource that anybody can join and see what's going on with the Liberty Net people. And basically it's hosted on groups.io, but Kevin has shortened the URL for me, so that would be 3950.net/list. So if you want to go there, it's 3950.net/list, and you can join the email list and find out more about what's going on there if you choose to do that. But for now, I guess we'll start the real main portion of our Liberty Net review, and I'll turn it over to Kevin, and he's going to play a couple of clips, I guess, and comment on some of the things that were said on the Wednesday session, and we'll get started doing that. So, but we're going to leave a pause, and anyone that wants to jump in there and check in and get in on the queue, so feel free to do so. Otherwise, it's over to WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, very good. KA2PTE. Excuse me. I'm eating crackers here and it cleared my throat. This is WB4AIO on the LibertyNet Review, and let's get right into the clips before I comment on the things you said. I do want to comment on your antenna that you were investigating there. But first, let's go to a transmission from the LibertyNet, this last Wednesday, from KO4FE. And KO4FE had a really big, clear signal, so everybody should be able to hear it very clearly. And let's see what he had to say.
We got another story here, and this reflects a lot on the other churches, not just the Church of England. Archbishop of Canterbury has expressed his shame after admitting that the Church of England remains, quote, deeply institutionally racist, insisting that they must change the, quote, hostile environment, unquote, for black and ethnic minorities. Well, the question I ask is, the Church of England is probably one of the most liberal, degenerate churches in existence, and if they're deeply institutionally racist, then what hope would you have of any church? I mean, if even the most liberal, leftist, self-hating, cucked church on earth is still deeply institutionally racist, then why bother? You're not going to get rid of it. You know, you're fighting. You've lost. Anyway, he says it says in a scathing tweet, or in a scathing speech, not just a tweet on Tuesday, Justin Welby, who is England's most senior bishop and principal leader of the Church of England, a Christian church, claimed that he failed over many decades on the issue of race equality. Well, how did you fail? I'd like to hear that. Welby's intervention came as the General Synod voted to back a motion to, quote, lament, unquote, and apologize for both conscious and unconscious racism in relation to black and ethnic minorities since the arrival of the Windrush generation in the UK between the late 40s and 1970. I don't know. I'm not going to read the rest of this self-hating, self-flagellating nonsense from this wimp. And you ever get a good look at these bishops and these leaders from the Church of England? I mean, if they're not the faggiest, weakest, most cucked-looking men, I mean, some of them, I don't even know if they're men. They don't look like men. They look like total wimps. And apparently they don't do anything except, they don't enjoy anything except the constant self-flagellation. I don't think they'll ever get done. It's always this virtue signaling, self-flagellation. Here's this guy laying on the ground begging for forgiveness. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's, a lot of these churches are so far gone. And I think even if I recall, even in the book of Revelation, it says in there that in the end times, all the churches will serve the Antichrist, and it sure looks like it's going that way. So anyway, let me pass it back to you, Nick, see how that came through. W1NJC in the Liberty Net, this is KO4FE.
Okay, that's KO4FE's transmission on the Midweek Liberty Net, and I'll tell you, Bill doesn't pull any punches. He uses his freedom of speech to call it as he sees it, and he does not obey the conventional idea that we must never discuss controversial things, and we must never say anything that just on the off chance it might give somebody offense. Bill is one of those people who thinks that there are important issues happening in this world, and solving those issues is of the utmost importance for our survival. And so, therefore, our survival is one hell of a lot more important, than giving offense or hurting somebody's feelings. So sensitive flowers may not listen may not want to listen to KO4FE, but I don't mind listening to him. I don't always agree with him. I mean, that very last part of his transmission I sort of discount because I don't think those ancient scriptures are literally true. The things that are true in them are just true by coincidence. The basic thrust of them is mythological, and it's somebody else's mythology too. It's not even our mythology. So I discount that. However, the basic thing that he's saying I agree with, and that is that it's crazy for the Church of England to wrench itself into paroxysms of guilt and, as Bill says, self-flagellation and self-hatred over their lack of success in integrating non-English and non-European people into their church. That's just ridiculous. The natural tendency of humankind is to stay with your own kind. So naturally, the people of African descent tend to form their own churches. They tend to form African churches. There's even a very large Christian denomination in the U.S. called the African Methodist Episcopal Church, or the AME Church. You see these AME churches all over the country, wherever there's a substantial or really even a small black community. And they're quite happy to have a black church where they can express their own values, their own ideas, their own interpretations of the meaning of existence and the meaning of God and the meaning of their beliefs in the real world. And the same is true of Koreans. There are Korean churches, Christian churches, and of course, the Koreans have their own indigenous religion, which among them is the most popular, and they're very happy to have their own religious institutions. And the same is true of every group on planet Earth. They have their own religions, their own churches or temples, and that's the way human beings are. It's only the crazy white people who think they have to include everyone, and then when including everyone doesn't work or causes tremendous problems, as it inevitably will, then they start screaming that they failed, or that we have a hatred problem or some insane thing like that that really makes no sense. They're just trying to do the impossible. They're trying to do something that really shouldn't be done, and then they start blaming themselves or blaming other white people when it doesn't work. So I thought that was interesting, very thought-provoking. And, of course, my position is really not based on any ancient religious writings. My position is just based on nature and common sense. I mean, every species on planet Earth has come into existence through a process of racial differentiation and racial separation. That's what evolution is. You know, you have a group of creatures and they start to evolve slightly differently in different places. And eventually you have two subspecies, one that's on the east side of the mountain and one that's on the west side of the mountain, and they're a little bit different. And as time goes on, they get more and more different. And at some point, they get so different they never mate with each other anymore. Then they're not subspecies anymore. Then they're full species. Well, that's the way all life is, from grass to grasshoppers to gorillas to human beings. A species will differentiate into different varieties or subspecies or races. And then these races or subspecies will get more and more different, and eventually they'll separate into completely different species. And that happens to all living things, including people. And that's what the races really are. And it's just natural for them to get more and more different over time. This forcing of them together is pointless and harmful and crazy. And that's really, I think, what's going on with this Church of England situation. So I thought that was interesting. I have another clip, and then I want to talk about your antenna, but I'll wait. I don't want to make a long transmission here, so I've already made it long enough. So I'll go back to you for any commentary you might have. KA2PTE and the LibertyNet Review, reviewing the comments made on the LibertyNet during the past week and thinking about them. This is WB4AIO standing by.
All right, Kevin, copy that transmission 100%. WB4AIO with KA2PTE and the Liberty Net Review. Yeah, very good clip there from KO4FE, and you're right. He doesn't pull any punches. He pretty much tells it like it is. He's definitely does not believe in this political correctness, virtue signaling nonsense that's out there on social media, you know, all that stuff that's kind of brainwashed the younger generations. You know, that's sort of their outlook on the world is whatever they encounter on social media. It's going to be hard getting any of them, I guess, to really come in, you know, looking at something like what we do here with the Liberty Net, where, you know, you'd actually have to invest in taking a test, you know, getting a license, and then actually setting up your own station, getting on the air, and then you're able to talk. You know, I guess they're just spoiled into this internet kind of world where, oh, you know, all you do is put your computer on, you know, log into your account, and you've got free speech. You know, it's definitely a little different when you actually get on the air and you've got your own station. You have to figure out propagation. You know, you may have something good to say sometimes on the ham radio, but if propagation isn't there, you know, it's not going to be done. And we learned that last night with the Liberty Net. Not always that easy to, I guess, have a net on the amateur radio, as we've learned. But yeah, as far as what he says, it is pretty accurate, you know. And I myself started to go back to church or try to get into it about a year ago. And I went to some local churches, and I really don't believe like sort of how you've indicated there about the races and things like that. I mean I believe in that, but I don't believe in forcing other races into other religions just because it's inclusion, and you have to do it because otherwise you're quote racist. You know, it's stupid. And what you said about races is true. I mean, you know, I mean, if you go find an anthill and you look at the anthill, the ants coming out are all the same, aren't they? You know, the black ants, you know, red ants, whatever they are. You know, I mean, do you see these idiots, you know, that virtue signal for diversity going out there and destroying all the anthills, you know, because they're racist. The ants are racist, you know, and every species is, I guess, racist. That's why that word racist, you know, I don't know why it flies so many miles out there on the internet these days. You know, I hope it's running out of gas, because it's a term. I don't know if it's a real invention in the English dictionary or not, but, you know, I mean, it's sort of a basic understanding that I guess you develop, you know, after you've been on this earth for a while, you know, that there are races. You know, I mean, different species bug, I guess if a grasshopper tries to invade an anthill, you know, he'll soon be made into breakfast. You know, that's nature. You know, it's not politically correct, you know, by any means, you know. And I guess, you know, we're not ants or locusts, or at least, well, when I think of the Chinese, I don't know, they might be locusts, but it turns out, you know, we are human, and we do have a human nature, let's put it that way. And we've come this far with basically having the races separated. You know, China's been for Chinese, Africa's mostly been for Africans, and, you know, the Middle East has been for those people of those type of origins, and Europe and the U.S. for a while has been basically, I guess, European. And, you know, when you look at the world and the contributions of modern society, a lot of it does come from our races, and the rest of the world does follow sort of in our footsteps. But this is a little bit of arrogance here, you know, on their part, assuming that, I guess just because they have the internet, they have computers, they have our technology, and they're using it, I guess they feel that it's an opportunity to get in and try to take control, throw a monkey wrench into this country. And it certainly seems like it's sort of succeeded for the last 8 years or so. But looks like at least now we have a leader, Trump, that by no means is perfect, but he has definitely got the ship pointing in that direction where, you know, we've done things in the past. This country's contributed a tremendous amount of advancement to the world, and it's been basically diverted out of this country into other countries, and other countries have been made blindly, unimaginably rich over it. And you've got people here in this country that have just sort of been overlooked. You know, within 20 years, there is now such a thing as a Chinese billionaire. You know, there was no such thing. Everybody would laugh at you if you said that word 10 years ago about a Chinese billionaire. They'd say, yeah, right, yeah, that you know, that's ever going to happen. But you've got them. They're over there, you know, in a very short time. It's amazing. You know, it's astonishing. But I guess what else? There was something I was going to say. I guess it was sort of along that line of the multiculturalism, and you hear that word a lot, inclusive. I hear that in the workplace a lot, too, in the mainstream workforce, that, you know, the culture we try to promote in this, in our company is, quote, all-inclusive. And remember, if you're not all-inclusive, you are, quote, mutually exclusive. You know, so, I mean, I don't know what they're doing there. I think they don't understand English, a lot of these people putting out these policies. I mean, if you're not all-inclusive, you are mutually exclusive. To me, being mutually exclusive means you're exclusive. I don't know. That's sort of a special place, you know. I mean, it sort of says you're an individual and you've got your own set of values, beliefs, morals, and principles, abilities, and skills. I mean, that's an achievement, really. That's what a lot of people seek to be, is, you know, exclusive. You know, it's like you're, you know, saying you're exclusive is sort of saying you're an individual human being, you're different, and you've got abilities and qualities and skills. So, I mean, if you're not all-inclusive, you're that. So, hey, I'll be fine with being not inclusive as long as I can retain my identity and who I am. And I think that's sort of what they're trying to do here. They're trying to sort of kidnap or hold hostage people that don't have this knowledge about, I guess, what would you call it, the human condition, you know, or the condition that our races sort of have pioneered and come up with. The whole idea about America, and I, at least from what I've understood, separating capitalism from communism is, you know, the ability that at least you can, individuals can stand a chance to be recognized for their achievements, or they should be, in this kind of environment, as opposed to communism, where everything is the property of everybody else, especially the government. And, you know, the other thing I guess I was going to talk about was the coronavirus, but I'll wait until another turn, because that was mentioned, I think, on last night's Net. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, here's the Chinese, you know, that, oh, everybody worships China, you know, the last 10, 20 years, they're on the internet. Wow, look what they've done. You know, they're making all this stuff, computers, routers, switches, TV sets, loads and loads and loads of wireless devices, you know, making your life easy, more enjoyable, smart, very smart. Yeah. I don't know. Take a look over there now. They look very smart. You know, they pretty much, I don't know. I think they fell for a trap that somebody made and said, you know, we've got a bio weapon for sale that you can use and destroy the U.S. Meanwhile, it was a bio weapon designed to destroy them, you know. And I don't get it. How is that demonstrating a high IQ? You know, they've said that the only race that's got a higher IQ than I guess our average in this country is the Chinese. I don't know. I have no idea where they came up with that number, unless it's just a fudged Google search review or something like that, that a bot performed on social media and came up with it based on a scan of some websites. I don't know. But as a human being with sitting here with a pretty good sense of sound reason and judgment, I just don't see how that is intelligent at all. I mean, you could conceivably see the end of the Chinese Asian culture with this virus, if not this year, maybe in future years, if the virus evolves every flu season, for example, it could be ongoing forever. And it seems like it's focused on the Asian type of composition. They're by no means looking like the most highest IQ on this planet at all. In fact, in my book, they look like one of the lowest, despite their ability to mass produce and copy things that other people have invented. It's just total nonsense. But yeah, I'll see if I can remember anything else to say about that next turn. But with that, I'll swing it over to you. And for anybody else listening, this is the Liberty Net Review. We're sort of talking about a current events discussion that happened last night and Wednesday on HF Amateur Radio. And anybody that wants to join in, just either broadcast something on the QSO TV or in between pauses, you can come in with your call sign, and we'll be glad to include you and hear any other comments or feedback or anything else you might have to say, even if it's just, hi, I'm so-and-so from this country, et cetera, et cetera. How's the weather? Things like that. Fine, no problem. Anyway, we'll have a little pause, and then it's over to WB4AIO from KA2PTE and the Liberty Net Review.
KA2PTE and the Liberty Net Review. Here's WB4AIO. Okay, very good, Steve. Yes, well, a lot of good comments there. And interesting on inclusivity. Well, I'm actually, people may not believe this, but it's true. I mean, I'm not forever harming anyone because of his race. It's something you can't help, and we're all creatures on planet Earth, and I don't want to kill or harm any creatures on planet Earth. And strive not to do that. I've been a vegetarian most of my life, for one example. And so I strive not to hurt any of my fellow Earth creatures, and that includes people of other races, but I just don't think it's wise to give away our countries, and I don't think it's right to deny white Europeans the ability to have their own governments, their own nations, and their own institutions. I mean, after all, it's natural and good for the Nigerians to have an all-black country. It's natural and good for the Kenyans to have an all-black country and have a government that's answerable only to them, that supports their interests. And the same is true for the Japanese. You know, that's right and good and natural for the Japanese to have an all-Asian country, and an all-Japanese country, for that matter, and to have a government that is answerable only to them, to look out for their interests. That's what governments are for. And so it's okay for the Japanese, the Kenyans, the Nigerians, the Indians from the subcontinent of India to have their own countries that are exclusively for them. And everybody acknowledges that. But why is it that America has to be for everybody, and England and France and Italy and Germany and all the countries of the white world have to be for everybody, and that somehow it's evil or wrong for those peoples, for those countries of Europe and North America, to have their own countries that are exclusively European? Why is that wrong? It's not wrong for the Japanese. It's not wrong for the Chinese. It's not wrong for the Saudi Arabians. They can have a country that's all Arabian. Apparently, it's not wrong for the Jews. The Jews can have Israel that's all Jewish. In fact, we give them billions of dollars for what they come right out and say is the Jewish state. And they even build walls, huge walls, real walls, not like the fake one that Trump is pretending to build. They build real walls to protect their borders. And that's okay. Everybody says that's okay. Well, why are all of these countries okay with, you know, all these peoples around the world? Why is it okay for them to have their own country, but somehow it's wrong for white people to have their own countries? Really, what's going on is the billionaires and the people who really run this world, the people who employ the politicians, they've decided that white people can't have their own countries. They're trying to wipe us out. They're trying to destroy us. They're saying it would be wrong for white people to have a government that was answerable only to white people anywhere in the world. That's wrong. That's perfectly okay for Indians. It's perfectly okay for Jews. It's perfectly okay for Arabs. It's perfectly okay for Africans. It's perfectly okay for Chinese and Japanese, and on and on and on. And I agree, it is perfectly okay for them. But it's wrong for white people to do that. Well, it's not wrong. And if you deny us that, then you're killing us. And somebody is trying to wipe us out. Somebody's trying to get rid of us. And if you want to know who that is, look to who owns the major media. Look to George Soros. Look to who owns the major banks of this world. They're trying to wipe us out. They have created this fake morality that's been around so long now. It's been around since the end of World War II. That many people have grown up their entire lives, including me, surrounded by this fake morality, this inverted morality that says it's wrong for us. We're evil. We're haters if we don't want to give our country away. What a lie. Okay, let's go back to the Liberty Net, and let's hear another transmission from KO4FE from the Midweek Liberty Net. And this one, I think, is particularly interesting. So let's take a listen.
Richard Dawkins is in trouble. He's slammed for saying, of course eugenics would work. British evolutionary biologist and famed atheist Richard Dawkins sparked outrage on Twitter after he wrote that putting ideology and morality aside, eugenics or selective breeding of humans would, quote, of course, work in practice. He said it's one thing to deplore eugenics on ideological, political, and moral grounds. It's quite another to conclude that it wouldn't work in practice. Of course it would work. It works for cows, horses, pigs, dogs, and roses. Why on earth wouldn't it work for human beings? Facts ignore ideology, close quote. Of course, the tweet sparked a wave of outrage and criticism from both sides of the political aisle, with many people pointing out the racist history of the eugenics movement and how Adolf Hitler used to justify the forced sterilization and mass murder of hundreds of thousands of Jews and others who were determined sick or defective. So anyway, that's Richard Dawkins. He's, you know, you can't even speak the truth in objective terms without the left becoming unhinged. And that's why one thing why the left is inherently evil and destructive is because they're always at war with facts and human nature. That's why they're always trying to ban emotions. You know, they're always trying to ban hate, greed, you know, misogyny, sexism. You know, all these, the left is like a religion. You know, they have their sins. If you don't like diversity, that's a sin. You know, all these sin type, and I'm using the term sin in the leftist paradigm. They're always against these things. But because they ignore human nature, and that's why leftism always fails, and that's why they always end up murdering hundreds of millions of people, because they can't ever get human beings to comply with their unicorn and rainbows utopian visions. You know, the Soviet Union and China, it's all about complying to ideology. And I was reminded the other day, Oswald Spengler, the famous historian, traditionalist, conservative historian, wrote many years ago, probably back in the 20s, I think it was in the Decline of the West, and he recounted how civilizations go through this period towards their end where everything is intellectualized, or in other words, turned into an ideology. I mean, we see this even with sex. You know, this transgenderism, homosexual marriage, it's all intellectualized. It's divorced from reality, divorced from human nature, and that's why the left always ends up destroying so many things, because they're trying to rewrite society. They're trying to force human beings to comply to their insane ideology, and it's always about turning everything upside down. So this is why when somebody like Richard Dawkins comes up with something that, you know, hey, it doesn't matter about the, you could make that argument about just about anything, but in this case, it's the run to thing is Adolf Hitler. Even though the fact that eugenics and selective breeding is a known biological fact, anybody that deals with animals knows this is true. Anyone that knows anything about animals, domestic, wild, or otherwise, knows that selective breeding and eugenics are just facts. It's biological facts. This is offensive. Always, things like this are always offensive to the left and sends them into outrage because they want to deny reality and assign a moral standard to it. The left is all about assigning their communist morality to everything. That's how they attack things. It's not whether it's good or bad. It's not whether it's true or not true. It's whether it's immoral or moral, according to the left.
Very, very interesting transmission. That's KO4FE on the Liberty Net, the midweek edition of the Liberty Net last Wednesday. And this is WB4AIO on the Liberty Net Review. And very interesting that Richard Dawkins, a man with whom I don't agree on some things, nevertheless had the courage to acknowledge a fact, a simple fact that really is unassailable. It can't even be questioned unless you're insane, and that is that eugenics would work with people, that selective breeding would work. You could breed for taller people, for example. You could breed for smarter people. You could breed for people with better character, because most of those things are highly heritable. Now, no one denies that there are factors that are not heritable, such as things that you can educate and teach people to do. That's not heritable. But even the ability to benefit from education is linked to intelligence, and the ability to do that is heritable. So most of our personalities and all of our potentials are heritable. And so Dawkins is right, and Bill, KO4FE, is right. Eugenics would work, and selective breeding would work. And I would say that selective breeding is going on right now. For example, the welfare system in this country rewards certain people for having children by giving them more welfare money, more money taken from the productive people, the more children they have. And so therefore, the kind of people who are welfare mothers, their particular kind of genetic structure is being favored in a selective breeding program. And society is going in the future is going to have more and more of that kind of person. Well, that is selective breeding. So we have a selective breeding program now, and it is working. However, I think the choices of who should have a larger and larger share in the next generation, the choices that have been made are completely wrong and crazy. But Dawkins is right, and KO4FE is right. And so that's my last clip for today. My wife is up and about, and I want to spend almost all of the day with her. Our life together is the most important thing. But I do want to come back and make one more transmission and talk about your antenna and talk about possible other formats for the LibertyNet Review. But right now, back to you, KA2PTE and the LibertyNet Review, WB4AIO in Western Pennsylvania.
All right, Kevin, very good. 100% copy that transmission, WB4AIO with KA2PTE and the LibertyNet Review. Interesting clip there that you played, and always very thought-provoking material on these nets. That's one reason I keep coming back, because I don't really find this intellectual stimulation anywhere else, unfortunately, especially in mainstream media, where you're just spoon-fed the same food for the brain, I guess, you know, continually over and over again. And it does get sort of repetitively boring. It is sort of like a brainwashing that they're trying to do. Like we've mentioned, they're trying to say that, it is a sin if you don't think that everybody should think of including all the races together, and pretty much making a melting pot of every conceivable race that's out there in the world, and that's supposedly what America is really destined for, you know, I guess is what they're saying. But you're sort of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You're taking a system that's been in place in this country for a long time, and it's achieved great things. Most people probably realize Nikola Tesla came here from Serbia and pioneered alternating current, and without that we wouldn't have the ability to use electricity and do half the things that we're doing today that we take for granted. But that didn't take place in a multicultural system, unfortunately. So things like that, I just don't see a chance of developing anywhere. And I think that if a Nikola Tesla or someone, you know, maybe an Einstein or whoever's, you know, of a great inventor or intellectual status, by now there should be more coming from the countries that we're being told should be included, forced and included on us, whether we like it or not. Somehow, I guess they're going to, I don't know, by osmosis, they're going to become brilliant minds and start to invent things and contribute to the culture instead of just being parasites off it. I mean, you know, basically most of them were of a parasitic kind of mind in their countries of origin, you know, whether it's India, Africa, Middle East, most of the third world countries, you know, that's the mindset. It's a sort of a communist mindset where the people don't have any any rights or abilities. And you know, it's interesting, in the Middle East, you know, we've gone over there and we've had all these wars, and after 9/11, I guess they decided, well, you know, we're going to go over there and we're actually going to try to reform the country by forcing democracy onto them, you know. And that's I guess that's sort of a noble idea, but I don't even know why they decided to do that, because we became independent and became a democracy from the roots, grassroots of the people back in the Revolutionary War. When that took place, it wasn't, the aliens didn't come down, or at least not that I know of. They didn't land and say, here's a democratic system. Here's the Constitution. Here's the Bill of Rights. All you got to do is put it in a glass cage in Washington and you're good to go. I mean, it was by no means that easy. You can't just hand these ideas and principles over. And of course, you know, they should have known you can't force, especially a third world culture like over in the Middle East, to grasp democracy when centuries, they've had centuries of their own culture in place, you know, whether it's Muslim the Muslim Muslim religion, I forget what it's called, the Quran, and you know, they've been teaching that for centuries. You know, how are we going to go over there and actually force it? I mean, I could understand if they let them take it or leave it, and then if they wanted to leave it, we left there. but I don't understand this arrogance, you know, with the sort of the weaponized concept of America. I think that's a little overboard now. On the other hand, I do feel like some of this, some of these things you see, like you talk about, where they're sort of brainwashing through the internet, trying to get everybody to accept a new world order with a different kind of thinking of all-inclusiveness and punishment for those who are not inclusive. I think that is a real danger. That's probably what you'd call a clear and present danger to our nation. So if that's a reason for our over-aggressiveness and sort of borderline insanity over there, I can understand that. But when you start to talk about 9/11, you know, that's a whole other ball of wax, too. So to me, that 9/11 will always be the bookmark of interest where things definitely changed. You've got a country pre-9/11, and then you've got almost a mirror image universe of it post-9/11, which has evolved since 9/11 took place, and you've got a deep state going on. And I sort of, while you were QSOing, I sort of wandered around a little bit, and I found a meme that I had saved on my computer, and I broadcasted it over the QSO TV, and it shows a picture of Ben Franklin, and it says, any society that would give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both. Lose both. So that was Ben Franklin. So I put that meme over the QSO TV in case anybody was watching that. But yeah, really good good commentary out of you, as always. And thanks for putting the, I guess, the meat on the table, so to speak. Although I know you're vegetarian, thanks for putting the, I don't know, the green beans on the table. As far as the material for the Nets, you always pick some really good participants to hear, and we'll see what unfolds next Wednesday. And I guess you're sort of kicking into the 73 round there for you, because you've got your wife and other stuff going on this Sunday, so you've got some probably busy plans going on. So I guess with that, I'll turn it over to you, and I guess that'll be the 73 round kickoff for us on the Liberty Net review. But we'll leave a pause in there in case anybody wants to jump in there and check in and say hi, or has any comments or feedback they want to share on anything that we've talked about, or wants to know more about the Liberty Net. We'll be glad to let you know what we know about it. So with that, I guess there'll be a pause, and then WB4AIO will take it from KA2PTE.
Okay, KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Okay, very good, Steve. Appreciate your comments, appreciate your thoughts, and it's nice to have a situation here on CQ100 where there's absolutely zero interference, and we can discuss the Liberty Net and make our commentary. And then, of course, the recording goes up, and the whole world hears it on the 3950.net website, just like they hear the over-the-air Liberty Net. I think I do want to think about eventually changing from CQ100 to some other format because of two things. One is we're only reaching out to other amateurs on CQ100. We may have an audience, although there's no way to measure it, but we're only reaching out to people who have a license, and maybe we need to reach out and interact with people who don't have a license. And maybe even people who do have a license but don't want to go through the rigmarole of registering and everything like that. In other words, get on some format like a live stream on Facebook, or a live stream on YouTube, or a live stream on BitChute if BitChute has it, or a live stream on Brighteon if Brighteon has that. Although BitChute and Brighteon probably don't have the audience of the other two. But anyway, some kind of live stream where we could get participation from people who are already registered, a place that already has thousands of people already registered. It's very popular, and maybe we'd get more interaction that way. Something to think about. I'd also like you to think about this, maybe changing the time of the review, because right now, especially since we've made it later in the day on Sunday, it sort of is impinging into my family time, and I would prefer it if maybe we could talk at a time when my wife either isn't up yet or is working or something, where it's not impinging on my time with my family. And as you know, we have a baby on the way, so there's a lot going on, and I don't want to neglect that even slightly. So those are two things I want you to think about. Let's also talk about your antenna. I'm very interested in getting you on the air with a stronger signal. I'd like to see pictures of this military surplus or this commercial antenna you have. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm going to speculate as to what it is based on your description, but I'm not certain of any of this. But what it sounds like is sounds like a terminated folded dipole. And it, with a folded dipole of any kind, you can't add up the wire length and say, well, it's 80 feet out and then 80 feet back to the center again. And so really it's like a 160-foot antenna. No, it doesn't work that way. It's just an 80-foot long antenna. The resonant frequency and the efficiency, et cetera, are going to be based on the 80-foot length, not the wire length. So it's a half wave that's 80 feet, and so it's not – it's going to lose efficiency below the frequency at which 80 feet is a half wave. And if just doing a quick calculation in my head, I think an 80-foot antenna – is resonant somewhere around a little bit below 6 megahertz. And so that antenna probably would be reasonably efficient at 40 meters and above. But 80 meters, not so much. 160 meters, it would probably be pathetic. So a fully balanced antenna at 80 feet long is really a 6 megahertz and above antenna. And if it has resistors in it or a resistor in it, then it's probably very similar to the terminated folded dipole that B&W makes. And several other manufacturers have made these too. And there are also plans where you can make them yourself. And that's a folded dipole that terminates in a resistor at the center. And maybe some of them have multiple resistors at different points. I'm not sure about that. But I do know that they're all very inefficient. And here's the market for those antennas, although some hams do buy them and use them. The primary market for these resistor-terminated antennas is embassies, where they have HF communications capability back to their home country as a backup in case the internet fails or there's some other kind of emergency where they need to use HF radio. And they've got personnel in these embassies who can be trained to operate transceivers and amplifiers, but these personnel are not really radio people. They're diplomats, or they're the staff serving the diplomats, and they don't really have a radio person on staff. So they need an antenna that will work on any of the channels that they've set up for embassy communication, and they probably have one or two in the lower HF bands, and then one or two or more in the higher HF bands. And so they need an antenna that will work on many frequencies with a low SWR and not burn up the equipment, but without having to be tuned like an antenna tuner. They don't really have personnel that understand the concept of tuning an antenna tuner to match the impedance. They don't get that. So they want an antenna that just has a 50-ohm load, very close to 50 ohms, on all their channels. And that these terminated folded dipoles tend to have a very low SWR on the whole chunk of the HF spectrum from their lowest frequency up to 30 megahertz. The problem with them is that they, in order to get that low SWR, they use resistors, and the resistors load the circuit and cause inefficiency. And so the embassy personnel, it doesn't really matter because they can easily have a 5 or 10 kilowatt amplifier and make up the difference. But it's an inefficient antenna. The B&W version, which I think is like 100 feet long or something like that, or maybe it's 90 feet, could be 80 feet, I forget. There have been tests done on that, objective tests, and that antenna on the 75-meter band is down 13 15 dB from a regular dipole. In other words, if you run a regular dipole with 100 watts, you'll have a certain signal strength, but you'll be then you take down the dipole and you run the same 100 watts into the terminated folded dipole, you'll be 13 dB down. In other words, instead of 100 watts equivalent, it's the equivalent of running, 13 dB under 100 watts, that's 5 watts. It's the equivalent of running 5 watts into a regular dipole. And that's if you run 100 watts into the terminated folded dipole. So these terminated folded dipole antennas, especially on their lowest band of operation, are not efficient. Now, it may be that this commercial antenna you have, or the military surplus, or whatever it is a different kind of antenna. But if it is what I'm saying, that I suspect it is, then you'd be better off just using the parts and build an efficient antenna with them. And for an efficient antenna, I suggest a doublet.
There's potatoes if you want some.
Thank you. I suggest a doublet or a regular dipole fed with open wire line. That's very efficient. Even a doublet that's only 165 feet long can work on 160. Or I suggest the inverted L antenna I designed for you. Heck, the horizontal part of that antenna can be as short as 75 feet if you can get it up high enough, and even if the – or a little longer if your tree isn't that tall. And then you just need a couple of elevated radials, and there the total length of the two elevated radials put together is just 100 feet. It's a real easy antenna to put up, and it's much better than any of these compromise antennas, and it's much better than any antenna that has a resistor in it. You might have to buy a tuner, but I really suggest you put up an efficient antenna, not a compromise antenna. Some kind of antenna that's full size, quarter wave or bigger if it's an inverted L or vertical, and a half wave or bigger if it's a horizontal. And you could go a little shorter than that if you feed with heavy open wire line, but not a lot shorter. So that's what I suggest, and just scout out your trees and see what you can do. I think you can – very few sites can't put up an inverted L. There may be a few, but there are very few sites where an inverted L won't work. So I wish I could go there and walk the property with you and help you design something. But I'd be happy to help you any way I can remotely since we're not in the same town. So let me know. You can always call me on the phone too. So think about those things. I'm going to say 73. I enjoyed it, and I always enjoy reviewing the LibertyNet with you here on the LibertyNet Review, Steve. It's a blast. KA2PTE and the LibertyNet Review. This is WB4AIO listening out.
Okay, Kevin. Very good. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. I appreciate the explanation of that antenna. Your speculation on what it is probably is pretty close to or almost fully accurate, I guess. And it seems like about 6 megahertz probably would be somewhere in the area that it's resonant at. So, I guess probably I wouldn't be putting that one up or spending too much time to try to get it up, but... I thought maybe it was worth a try, but now probably not. So at least I know a little bit more about what it is, and I'll just kind of tuck it away and I guess save it for a time when maybe I can work those bands and put it up and work those bands. But I will think about the other platforms that you mentioned. I don't know if Brighteon or other sites like that, I think probably there'd have to be some video because I'm thinking if we're just going to do audio, probably some kind of podcast network maybe. I know there's a couple of them out there. There's WGN and, there's some of them that have hosts like Rush Limbaugh on there. And I don't know if we want to go that that heavy, you know, but we could sort of like a system like Brighteon, which is sort of like more average blue-collar people just, you know, talking about news. There's a lot of that on there, so we might be able to find something like that that'll suit us. And, yeah, it doesn't really have to be focused on amateur radio station license holders, but I was sort of thinking maybe we'd get a little bit more participation here with this system. It's a little bit more, like you say, there's a less of a chance for it to get jammed, hacked into. It's sort of administrated fairly well by the owner of CQ100. He seems to do a pretty good job of keeping it in line, you know, and I guess, like you say, you know, we can sit here and we can talk freely, unjammed, and, you know, that's kind of hard to find, especially even on the real bands when they're going. You know, you have to rely on propagation being flaky, and then a lot of times I found is when the propagation is solid, the jammers come in there and they start injecting their commentary in between, you know, or sometimes right on top of people that are talking, you know, very, very rude. A lot of amateur stations out there don't really hold, I guess, the gentleman's agreement in much regard as far as how stations should operate when they're on the air, which is sort of making make it a priority that your experience is enjoyable but not at the expense of other operators, something to that extent. I think that's the gentleman's agreement. But for the most part, LibertyNet people that check in seem to understand that, you know, and that's sort of another really good attribute of the LibertyNet users, is we sort of have this common core belief and a structure, and we sort of stick to the structure. And although we don't get a lot of huge, enormous amount of participants, we get a handful, and with the handful, there's sort of a good sort of, I guess, the idea behind quality versus quantity. You know, we don't have a huge quantity, but we have a really good quality of participants with material coming in consistently. So I'll take this for now, but if you do want to try something else, you know, I guess poke around and in your spare time and see, you know, maybe we can try and experiment on there sometime. And as far as bringing the time back a little bit, I guess we can try that. I think we had it started at like 9:30, and that was a little early for me. So if you want to maybe kick it back for 10 o'clock, I don't know if that's a half hour, if that helps any significantly, you know, we can try kicking it off a little earlier in the morning, maybe 10 o'clock, if that helps your situation over there, let me know. So, yeah, I will post a picture on the LibertyNet resource of the dipole, and in case you want to comment on that, you can see that later. So, yeah, I had a lot of interesting thoughts here on the LibertyNet review, and thanks for being here and putting your comments out there and supplying the material of the net recordings and maintaining the 3950 website. And I guess I'll say 7-3 and enjoy the rest of the day with your wife. And looks like the sun is still shining, and hopefully it continues to shine the rest of the day over here in Bennington, VIRYORK. So 7-3-WB4AIO from KA2PTE, and I guess we'll see you out there in the ionosphere. And I guess, of course, good luck in the contest. 7-3.
Okay, very good. 73. We'll talk about all that other stuff where we may institute changes. We'll talk about that during the week. I'm not ready to make a decision right now. But 73, great to talk to you, and all the best. KA2PTE, WB4AIO, signing out.